All right, welcome to episode 33 of the Bobbycast. Here with Kelsey Ballerini and our sponsors, Blue Apron and 100 Flower. Thank you to those guys. Hello, Kelsey.
Hello.
Do you know that the funny thing is, I feel like for the first time ever, I actually researched you.
You did.
Because I was like, what in the world is there about Kelsey that I didn't know? Because I was trying to find an angle with these.
Did you find anything?
I did. I actually
did.
I found something I did not know about you. And I'll get to it in a second.
Okay.
But it was weird because, I mean, we've known each other since, I mean, I've been here, really.
2.5 years, probably?
Yeah. Ever. I mean, funny. That's ever. But, so I started looking things up. I didn't know you were in college here.
Yeah, I went to Lipscomb.
I had no idea.
For 2 years.
So you moved out to Nashville at what age?
15.
Okay, so you move out here and your mom comes with you?
My mom came with me. She got a job here.
From outside Knoxville?
From Knoxville, yeah.
So you mean she gets a job here. What is it? So you're a kid and you want to move to Nashville and be an artist?
Yeah.
And she just moved and got a new job because of that?
Well, it's funny. I started writing when I was 12. Loved it. But I had danced for 10 years. I'd done gymnastics and loved that too. And so I think I liked a lot of things, but I think mom kind of watched it go from like a hobby to a passion, something that I was really, really committed to and not just doing in my spare time or whatever. And so we started coming out here on the weekends and, you know, whenever we could and just meeting people and going to writers' rounds and seeing what it was about.
At how old?
At 12, 13.
Really?
I had my first demo session out here when I was like 13 years old.
Explain what that is to people
that
don't know.
Well, back then, it was when you hire a bunch of studio musicians and you have an engineer and they come in and you play them your song. I played it on guitar because I didn't have a recording of it. And they do the Nashville number system, write it all down, go in, play your song like 2 or 3 times down, and then go to the next song. And it kind of turns into this big, I mean, it sounds like a record. So I did that when I was 13. And I mean, was just like, thought it was the coolest thing ever. And actually, random story, there was a guy named Eddie Bear. He's a drum player, huge, amazing drum player, studio drummer. And I remember this guy, the engineer, was like, listen, like, these are really big studio musicians. They're probably not going to talk to you. They're going to go in and do what they do. You know, they probably have 3 of these booked today, 4 of them booked today. And so I remember being super intimidated, but like really excited. There's 3 songs that I'd written by myself and they go in, do their thing. Sounds incredible. And afterwards, Eddie Bear comes up to me. He's like, hey, who'd you write these songs with? And I was like, I wrote them by myself. And I just remember he looked at me. He was like, keep doing what you're doing. And he walked out. And I'll never forget it because I just was ready for no one to talk to me. And the fact that he talked to me and he validated my songwriting was like the coolest thing ever to me. And then I started playing the Opry and he's now often the Opry drum player. So,
and I know from playing the Opry too, I played it a couple of times. But you've told him the story too.
Remembered me.
Really?
He remembered me. He wasn't there for my debut, but he was there the second time. And I walked up to him and I'm like, do you remember me? He's like, remind me. And I was like 13 years old and I had these songs. And he was like, I do remember you. You were with your mom. And I was like, I was with my mom.
Did you tell him though what he meant to you with those few words?
I did.
That were passing. He probably doesn't remember.
I did tell him. Absolutely. Because when you're starting out, any bit of just like validation is, I mean, it's worth a lot.
Does that affect you now when you talk to new artists too and you realize that a single sentence can change really the life of anyone?
Yeah. I'm super careful about what I say and especially like the outlook I give on the music industry. Cause so many people are just like a little bitter, you know, a little grumpy. And I think it's important to not be like that.
What is your outlook on the music industry?
I mean, it's hard. That's, I think, a fair thing for anyone. I mean, on any side of it, I'm sure you even think that, but I think that the biggest thing that I've learned is just putting the people around you that are going to make it enjoyable. You know what I mean? Like the 4 a.m. wake up call is the work part, not the onstage part, not the studio part. You know, that's the fun part. The work part's just like the crazy travel or the being tired every now and again. That's the hard part.
Back to you going to college here, which again, I didn't know.
Yeah.
So you're here. You're living here at 15.
Yeah.
Did you homeschool for high school?
No, I went to high school.
So you went to public high school?
I went to a new high school, junior and senior year. It was terrible.
And so, that is bad.
It was so bad.
Because, again, you're new.
And you're new. And I was in Williamson County, where everyone's, like, really cool. And the high school had uniforms.
So you go to this school. Mm-hmm. Are there other artist kids there now that you look back at the time or no?
There were no other artist kids, but there were a bunch of people that wanted to be singers. There were a lot of us.
Did any of them make it out that you know that's still kicking around town?
There's one girl. She was signed to Sony. Her name's Jordan Shellhart. We were actually friends. And we are friends. And I wrote a song on my album with her called Secondhand Smoke. She's like stupid talented. So
you
good.
Went to high school with her? The girl you wrote that song with?
Yeah, I went to high school with her.
That's crazy. That's
yeah.
cool.
And she's like, she's incredible. She's writing still.
You finished high school. Were you a smart kid or no?
Yeah.
So grades wise?
Yeah.
You were a smart kid?
Yeah.
So you decided to go to Belmont?
I went to Lipscomb.
Lipscomb.
It was weird. When I moved, high school got really hard for me socially just because I wanted to be a singer, and that's why I moved here. So I was really kind of fixed on that. But grades were really important to me. I was kind of nerdy. And so I ended up dual enrolling into college my senior year. And so I would go to high school till before lunchtime. And then everyone would go to lunch, and I'd go to college.
So in your mind, you're going to college to do what?
I didn't really know. I took a lot of classes in like communications and marketing because I kind of felt like it would help me if I got to do music and be an artist. And so that was kind of what I did. And then I just did like gen ed. So I made this deal with my mom when I moved to Nashville. And she was like, you have to stay in school until you can make some sort of a living out of music. So I just kept doing it.
So you were in Lipscomb until when? Not what year, but until what level of college?
I left after my sophomore year, so halfway.
How difficult was it for you to stop going to college?
Not difficult.
It wasn't. So it was
I was super ready.
Like you found your calling and like you were able to just kind of go, okay, this is it.
I didn't want to go. I really fought my mom on going to college. Hindsight, I'm really glad I did. Not just for like the education part of it, which I'm sure I learned a lot, but just for the life part of it, I feel like I needed to grow up a bit. I thought I was ready when I wasn't. And
did you move to? Because you're talking about a close school. Did you move onto campus, or did you still live at home with your mom?
So my mom lives in Franklin. The first year I lived with my mom, and I had classes on Tuesday, Thursday, just like sun up to sundown, and then Monday, Wednesday, Friday were my music days. So I just kind of venture out and do whatever on those days.
So, okay, sophomore year, you're going to quit school. Does it sound like it was a difficult decision because you found what you wanted to do? But that means you're able to make a living.
So sophomore year, I lived on campus, did my whole year there. And I mean, I took, how many credits can you take? I forget now. I think I took like 28 credits. So I was like super busy and was still doing music. And was super exhausted. My mom could see that. And I was really trying to make it work. And then I got offered a publishing deal.
And so a publishing deal is you go and you write, not just for you. And you weren't writing for you.
It wasn't an artist deal.
You were just writing songs.
I was writing, yeah.
And so they pay you a little bit of money.
A little bit of money. Yeah.
And you write songs. Mm-hmm. And you hope that a song gets picked up by an artist.
Yep.
That you make money. You pay back all the money first.
Because the money they pay you is an advance.
It's a loan, basically.
You owe it all back.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you want to make more than that after.
Because that's what you actually make.
Yeah. So that's your goal.
Yes.
And you're writing songs. Now, did you write any songs that any of the artists picked up?
No, never.
Did you ever feel like, man, these people that are paying me to write, which, by the way, is your label, Black River, you ever feel like, man, maybe they're kind of losing faith in me because I have no songs?
No, because I was really upfront about wanting to be an artist, and I was fine with like doing it in two different steps because I knew that I probably needed to develop a bit before I was ready to do an artist deal, but that was my end goal. And so they even structured my publishing deal to, it was kind of like, all right, if you get a cut on another artist, this is your percentage, whatever. But if you are an artist and you cut one of your own songs, you get co-pub, this is, you know, what you get on this.
So did they feel like you were writing for you? Do you think?
I think I was writing for both. Cause I have songs that I wrote in that time. And even now that I'm like, I love this song. It's just not for me. But I think once we wrote Love Me, that was really the first song that when we wrote that, we were like, this is like, we're on something and we don't know what yet. This might be me. And then we ended up writing like Peter Pan and all that. And that's kind of when the record deal happened.
We'll get to the songs in a second. When you walked in, I have six people on my wall that if they called me, I would be like, whatever. Good or bad, good times, bad times, middle times, I would be like,
that makes me happy.
You get whatever you need. And I think four of the six have now come in. Jansen has been in. Eric Pasley has been in. Maren came in a couple weeks ago. You're up on the wall. You're probably the first of all of those. And then Keith and all Little Big Town. I don't have microphones for Little Big Town.
There's a lot of them.
I don't have enough microphones. But yeah, I have a wall of...
Philip's the talker anyways, right? Just give it to Philip.
Yeah, they all have their moments, but that's my like my wall of, you know, if ever you need something, those are like the six people that I will be like, you need a kidney, or whatever. So you're on the wall.
That makes me happy.
That's your face, and there's
that is my. That's a really terrible picture as well.
You do look like one of those kids on those shows.
Deer in the headlights.
Well, you know those like those kids that are like. Eight, but their mom puts tons of makeup on them.
Yeah.
What are those called?
Those pageant
kids shows? Because you're obviously really young in that. It's for love.
I know. Was I 20 maybe?
Whatever it is. You look a lot like
I had a baby face for a long time. I think I still do.
It's not a baby face. It's not like you're 40 right now.
I know. I feel like I aged a lot.
You've definitely matured a lot in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Tell me about this here. So you talk about writing the song.
Yeah.
Where are you? Tell me about the room. Who's in the room?
This was such a random mistake song. That wasn't a mistake. We were writing at Black River. I was writing with Josh Kerr that day. And Forrest was writing with a guy named Lance Carpenter that day. And so we all get done with our writes and we're like, hey, should we try to all write together? Like we're all kind of...
Oh, so you wrote separately and then came together on this one?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That was our second song of the day. And, so we got together and we ordered Soulshine and we just kind of...
Pizza.
Pizza. Yeah. And we kind of just posted up in like the big lobby area of the label, the upstairs by the fireplace, you know.
I do know, but I act like I don't. I'm just a question asker.
And it was kind of no pressure, and we were sitting there, we were catching up. We didn't really get a lot of time together, and we were just talking, hanging out, and I think the first thing that came out, well, Forrest actually, who ended up producing my whole record, he's like my musical partner. He's just that person for me that I feel like is my better half. And has really become that, and especially now even working on the next record is that even more so. But he was like, hey, we were listening to Take a Bow by Rihanna. I love pop music. And so we were listening to that song, and he was like, I really feel like you should try to do like that swag that she does, how she kind of like laughs after she says a sassy line and all that stuff. And I was like, I just don't know if I can pull that off. You know, I didn't know, because I was 19 at the time maybe, and... I don't know, just insecure and awkward. And so he's like, let's just try it. And he started playing the da-da-ba-da-da-da-da-da on the guitar. And then we were all kind of like if you're gonna, we just loved that kind of melodic thing. And then we literally just wrote it in like 30 minutes. And I don't think we really thought anything of it other than it was fun. But the moment for me that I remember was Forrest did a demo for it. And
who sang the demo?
I sang the demo.
Okay.
So he did like a basic track, like guitar beat. I sang it like the next day. And then he did a demo for it, like built around my vocal and sent it to me. I mean, maybe a week and a half later. And I remember putting on my headphones, listening to this demo and being like, that's special. And I don't know why, because it's not lyrically genius or anything, you know? But it's special to me, and the label felt the same way about it.
So,
and it got pitched around town too, which I didn't know till later.
Oh, so they were trying to give the song to some other people.
I didn't know that because I wasn't signed yet. Yeah, and
So you weren't okay. Good. This is all putting it into a place now. You weren't signed as an artist when you wrote this song.
No,
it's fair then they pitch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
To you, it may not feel fair because you're writing for yourself.
I was so upset
because
I was like, guys, this is the first one.
I get it. I completely. Yeah. But looking at
everyone thought it was way too pop.
And I think and this is a kind of a weird place for you right now, and this is why I'm really anxious. And listen, I've heard some of your you've sent me some stuff on your second album.
Yeah.
And I'm anxious for it to come out because it's going to paint a new you.
I think so too.
Because what's happened with you is you created this new niche in the format, and now a bit I don't think you're being penalized for it, but I think this is your one record and it got so big that people only know you as the pop country girl.
I know.
So now it's your goal, and this is just me talking. And it's your goal with the second record to show your depth. Do you feel that?
Yes. I think that, just talking super honestly, like, I think that this first record, it was really heavily embraced by radio, which was really epic. But I think in doing that, the industry...
Absolutely. It made you not cool.
It made me really not cool. And so it was awesome because I was like radio's girl, which I love. And I mean, I did a 22-week radio tour. I mean, like...
That means, for those that don't know, she's going to morning shows and radio stations at 5 in the morning and singing. And it's miserable. And it is. And you're dealing... It's just... And you're going city to city, little station to little station every single day.
Yeah.
Doing the same thing over and over and over and over again.
Yeah. And it's paid off and it's been amazing. And that relationship's been amazing. But I think in that happening how it did, it made Nashville kind of be like, meh.
But what a place to be, because you're right. You put out this record and it breaks records and sets new standards. And here you are, you're all over TV. But you know how industry snooty can be. So to the industry, like you're not that cool, but everybody in the world, you're the coolest thing ever. And it's a weird dynamic because you're blowing up. But then the people that are at home, you're like, that you want to like be like, oh, Kelsey, I'm so... You're like, oh, they don't think I'm cool because my songs sound poppy.
Yep. It was a
Is that accurate?
It's a huge insecurity of mine, yeah. And the thing for me, like my biggest goal right now, and like I'm in Nashville right now, like I have 2.5 weeks to finish my record, essentially. And... I'm writing twice a day. I'm writing after this. I wrote this morning. Like, I'm just like trying to drain myself of that, because if anything, like, I just want people to know I'm a songwriter on this next album. That's the most important thing to me.
And what's funny is you're such a songwriter.
You know, I mean, I used to play you stuff
all the time
in the car.
And I know, and we would drive for hours and hours and hours and you would play songs, and you're very much a songwriter, but I saw it as it was happening and as you were exploding. I saw you exploding in one way and becoming industry less cool at the same time.
Know,
and it's such
so
a weird,
weird
anomaly.
It's so weird.
Like, the bigger you got, but you screw them, because I'm going to tell you in a sort of way that's happened to me too, where it's like, you know what? I'm just going to be me.
Yeah.
And that's really all you can be.
It's yes. It's Carrie, her Kalia line. This sounds so lame, but her trademark or whatever is stay your path. And I'm like, I always have to tell myself that, because I'm always comparing myself to every other chick artist, and I'm like, dude, just like do what you're doing.
But you know what's funny? Every chick artist compares themselves to you now, and you probably don't feel that way.
I don't. Yeah,
but they do. And I get to talk to a lot of them. They all are like, man, I just really want to do what Kelsey does. And you are that. You're the first of the next wave. And it's pressure too. It's a lot of pressure too, because you have to put out a second record and a next record that you really do. It's a lot of pressure.
I know.
But the good thing for you is you create your content.
Mm.
You're not just out picking.
No.
And that's a different skill set in itself. But you write.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
So you can actually create your own path, which even if you lose, if you're creating your own path,
I will go down.
At
with
least
my ship
you
happily.
Lose. At least you lose by creating.
Dude, yes.
You don't have to get in someone else's boat and sink. You get to build your own boat and sink.
Absolutely.
And there's so much more into that than it is just
absolutely
falling with it. So, Love Me Comes Out.
Yeah, Love Me Comes Out.
Wonderful song. Who picks it, by the way? Like, when?
It was across the board. We just knew. We had a meeting, just, I think, for the sake of having a meeting. we all sat around, and I don't even know if I had management at the time. I don't think I had management yet.
You didn't, because your management, I remember meeting your now manager in St. Louis when he came to one of our
Fletcher,
shows.
Yes, yeah. You're right. You're right. So yeah. I didn't have management yet. It was just me and my label. And
which is not a good place to be, by the way.
It's not.
You want to always have someone there. But again, you pick a good song, good to go.
Yeah. And so we listened to 3 songs. We had a song called Looking at Stars the first time, and Love Me. And listened to all 3. And then we all went around the table and voted. And everyone said Love Me. And And then I guess they already knew that that was going to happen. So then they had all these like cool bracelets made that said, "Love me like you mean it, Anna." It was a cool moment. Yeah.
Mike, we need to go to Blue Apron for a second.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
So about Blue Apron. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient recipe delivery service in the country. Their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everybody. It comes to my door. When you walked in, you saw a big Blue Apron box, by the way. And all the ingredients are in the box, and even the seafood. It's sourced sustainably under standards developed with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. So, I mean, like, this is real deal stuff. They're pre-portioned. You'll cook at home. You can do it as, like, a thing to do together, or you can do it yourself and not tell anybody, and all of a sudden you're, like, a super chef. So, like, there's build a bond right there. I use Blue Apron. I love Blue Apron. Meals that are upcoming. Spicy shrimp and Korean rice cakes with cabbage. Like, you would never make this stuff in real life. But Blue Apron allows that. So blueapron.com/Bobby, right? Is that right?
Yep.
blueapron.com/Bobby. All right, so let's talk about your second single.
Okay, Dibs.
So Dibs comes out, and how did that one get picked? Did you go into a meeting and vote, but they already had like a bunch of Dibs hats?
No. Pass around. You know, it's funny. I don't even really remember having a meeting about Dibs. I think.
You haven't heard this before.
Hey. when I did my radio tour, we played three songs acoustic every station visit, and it was "Love Me," "Dibs," and "Peter Pan." So I think we always knew that those were our three, and we knew that we needed to be really careful on "Peter Pan," and I think that "Love Me" set us up to kind of. Do something, and we didn't know what it was yet, but I think that we needed to reestablish that sound before we changed it. I think that was our theory with that, because Love Me was such a left of center song sonically, and Dibs kind of had that same tempo, that same feel, and a lot of people criticized that and said it was the same song, and in some ways it kind of is.
But you know what's weird, and you say that, I'm gonna just say, okay, it had the same feel, it was left of center, you said. At the time it was, and now it's not.
And now it's not. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, and all of these artists that end up making it in pop, not in pop, they make it because they pop.
Mm.
It's because what they were doing was left of center
at the time. Yeah.
I talked to Sam Hunt today, and Sam and I have become oddly friendlier than just a... not romantically, but, again, but more than just a radio host artist. Because, like me, Sam is very... Like reserve, like if we're not on, we're not on.
Yeah,
and we like our time to write, and like I'll sit in my room for 4 hours and just write jokes or write or I'm working on another book.
Yep.
And so, but we were talking today, and I was like, just for a second, like think about everybody that told you that your sound was not going to work, and he was like, most people, even my own people, told me it wasn't going to work because it was so left to center. But he's like. It was what I wanted to do, and I was going to go down with my own thoughts.
And
so, as you say, left to center, now you've created it in the middle. Like, you were the one that made this the middle sound.
Yeah, it's cool to think about.
You're the one that, and I mean, like Lauren, great friend of mine, Lauren Elena, like, she's able to put out that song because of Love Me Like You Mean It. Road Less Traveled is able to come out because of Love Me Like You Mean It.
I saw her. Well, I saw a clip of her singing Peter Pan karaoke the other day, and I thought it was the coolest thing I've ever seen.
By the way, no, Lauren Elena does not get the credit she deserves for being one of the best singers in town, period.
It's dumb.
Period.
No, I know. I was like, please don't actually sing that song because no one's going to want me to sing it anymore.
She is so good. And she's also a really a good songwriter. And you don't.
I've never written with her.
And I oddly have. And because I, you know, I write kids' music and comedy music. And she's quick, man. And Lauren's been into it before, and is just a great person. So, but you just saying left of center put me on that. It's not anymore.
Like,
it's
cool.
You've made it middle
super
now.
Cool.
And so now, but what you're going to do next is you're going to take another sound and go left again with this next record. Because one, you can. You have the ability to. And two, you have to.
I have to.
And so, okay, so Dibs comes out. It goes number one. Come on, don't give me the surprise if it really wasn't a surprise.
Well, listen, this is what happened. So it was a really tough song. Dibs was our toughest song because radio liked it. And during radio tour, they were like, is this going to be single? We're like, yeah, we think it'll be second. But it didn't sell well, really. And then when it got up to the top like five, which we were stoked about because we didn't know if it was going to happen because it got stuck in the 30s for a while. It got up to the top five, and Granger had just gone number one with On the Verge, and he was pushing for a second week. And it was the week that we were trying to push for number one. And it went down to the very last hour of the chart. And I remember being like, okay, like, you're getting number two, and that's fine. Like, you're fine. And I was at home in my old apartment getting my hair done. I had foils in my hair. And as I got closer and closer, Megan, our friend Megan, was sending me.
I was with Megan that night. We were in Austin.
In Austin, you were.
I was doing a stand-up comedy show for charity.
You were.
We were all together that night.
Okay, yes. Oh, my gosh.
Waiting to see if Dibs hit
Do you remember
one.
How close it was?
Yeah,
it,
no, I'm telling you. I finished the show because it's midnight Pacific time is what counts. Because Eastern comes in.
Yes.
It's like the new Ryan Seacrest New Year's. Like you're going all the way down. And I finished my stand-up comedy show at like 10:30 or 11, which meant it's 9 Pacific. So they're like, we're going to the bar and waiting and watching the charts.
It was hectic. I just remember as it got closer and closer, Megan's like, we might get it. It's still really close. So I started inviting some of my friends over just in case it happened. Just in case it didn't, you know? And so before I knew it, like I have like 30 people in my tiny little one-bedroom apartment, foils in my hair, and I get the call, and they're like, we got it. It's number one. And I have a video of all of it. And then Hunter Hayes was over with his girlfriend Libby, and he like made this beautiful toast, and like it ended up being like the coolest night of my life because we were just like, is this going to happen? We don't know if we're going to get it. And we got it, and it ended up being like a really cool celebration.
And having two number ones gives you the ability to fail next and still have some strong feet.
Yeah. So, and that's why we risked it with Peter Pan.
And it was a risk because one, you're a girl.
Yeah.
And two, it's a ballad.
Yeah.
And even now, that's not the safest thing. But then, I mean, we're talking even a year ago.
Yep.
Or when it really wasn't a safe play at all. Mm-mm.
And there was a lot of mid-tempo and slow mm-hmm. ballads on radio at the time. Always gonna
fly away. It was when they all started to come out
at the same time. Yeah. Yes.
So, all right, tell me about the song.
Oh, man, this was like, I feel like we all knew that this was our song that would change the game. And it did. And I think in different ways than we really even knew. But I wrote this song with Jesse Lee and Forrest, who I wrote with today, actually, randomly. And I remember it was my first write with Jesse, and I remember Jesse as an artist. When I moved to town, her video was on GAC and CMT for It's a Girl Thing, and thought she was so talented. And it was my first write with her, so I was super stoked. And do you know Jesse at all?
Nope.
She is a spitfire. I mean, comes in the room like a bulldozer in the best way possible. So I was kind of like letting her take the room, and she was like, I had this idea. But if we don't write it well, I'm going to go write it somewhere else. I just want you guys to know that straight up. And we were like, okay. And I think her doing that intimidated us a bit, but it also kind of put this pressure in the room, and like this challenge in the room of writing a really good song. And she was like, Peter Pan, the boy who doesn't grow up. That's my idea. And we loved it and wrote it really quick, I think. And it was one of those songs that we just wanted to keep singing over and over in the room. Like no one was ready to leave yet. Which was cool.
I have trouble with your next song, and not for a reason you would expect, but and whenever you hear this, because people listen to these months later, but as we're doing this Bobbycast, your single's Yeah Boy.
Yeah Boy.
I don't know how to say it. I feel
yeah,
ridiculous
boy?
Saying Yeah Boy. I don't know if it's like Yeah Boy, Yeah Boy, Yeah Boy. So on the radio, I don't say the name of it. I'm just like, that's
why?
Because it's like, there's Yeah Boy.
Just say Si Senor.
It just feels, I could do that.
Just start calling it Si Senor. Didn't you call Peter Pan, Peter Pants?
Peter Pants, yeah.
You just call it Si Senor.
Yeah, boy.
No, because then people will be like, what are you doing? People get mad at everything I do anyway.
Oh my God.
All right, so right now, this is your song on the radio.
This is my song on the radio.
Yeah, so this one here. Just give me a brief story.
You know, it's the last song that we're going to release from this album, and I think the whole heartbeat of the album I put out was very young. A lot of it was very flirty.
You were also young and flirty, though.
Totally.
I mean, it was a you
album.
Absolutely,
absolutely. And I think, I mean, even what you've heard, this next record is not that at all. And so I think that it was kind of us being like, let's circle back and end it how we started it before we kind of move on to something else. which has been really fun because it's fun to see the fans that initially reacted with Love Me be like, oh, this is my favorite song on the record. Yeah, well, we've been waiting for this. You know, that's been fun to see.
My favorite song on the record is one that did not come out as a single, just because it was like, you know, I'm a weird person that doesn't always fit, but I love the Square Pegs.
You did.
Yeah.
You
can choose if you're bad, if you're good, if you're left
or right, speak in your heart or speak in your mind. That was the last song we wrote.
Like, that's like
I sound like a kid.
I mean, this whole record, though, Kelsey, you're talking about you've grown up. I mean, a lot in the last 3 years. Like, it's been kind of wild to watch the ascent. And again, your next record is going to make you even older to people because it's far more mature.
Yeah.
And this, you needed this first record.
Oh, gosh. I'm proud of it.
You should be proud
of
it.
I'm so proud of it.
And I know you don't feel cool because it's poppy, but it changed the game.
I know.
It completely changed the game. You would not be here without this sound.
You're right.
The radio would not sound like it does without this sound. And I wouldn't heap this false praise on you. I would just not talk about it.
I know.
So, yeah, like, it's good. If you put out a second record like this, I would be like, all right, Kelsey.
Enough of this.
Yeah.
I mean, I think everyone would say that.
Well, so, you ever talk to Carrie?
Underwood?
Yeah.
Not often. Like, we've texted here and there. But not often.
Because she puts out songs that she walks that line. A pop song.
She does.
And also, Carrie just doesn't give a crap.
Yeah.
She does her... I know Miranda gets credit for not giving a crap, but Carrie doesn't give a crap. Carrie has her lane, like you said earlier.
Exactly.
And this isn't even to go back about that comment, but, you know, getting to know Carrie a bit, it's like, focus forward. This is what I do. I'm just going to do it.
That's the best thing. And it's hard to do. It's so hard to do.
With a million voices, it's really hard to do.
Yeah. And especially being like a young girl, it's hard to just like
Amen.
Look ahead.
Like I know.
You know, Bobby? No, I don't know her well, but I remember I met her. I went to her Kalia fashion show in New York, actually, maybe a year and a half ago. And I went backstage and gave her a hug. And she was like, hey, here's my number if you ever need anything. And she's texted me a couple times. Like when my grandparents passed away, she texted me and a couple times. She's really cool, but we've never like hung out. We're not bros.
So early 2017 right now, in the life cycle of this record,
mm-hmm.
what's been the coolest? Give me a moment. Let's say what's the first thing that comes to mind when I go, give me a moment.
Of the album?
I don't care. Just in the last, since the album, because you've got to do a lot of things.
Yeah, there's been a lot.
Just give me the first one that comes to mind.
The most rewarding thing I've gotten to do is headlining tour. And I didn't, when my management came to me like a year and a half ago and they're like, we want you to headline the end of 2016. I was like, you guys are crazy. You're crazy. Like, it's not going to happen. And I didn't think I was ready to put together like a 70-minute show. I didn't think I could do that. It was the most rewarding thing I've ever done because you get so used to having your like 25, 30, 40 minute slot with two pillar songs that people know. And then the rest, you're kind of like just trying to get people to just even pay attention to you. And with this tour, we had venues that were like, I think it was like 1200 to 2600 cap rooms sold out that they knew songs that I hadn't even put out yet. Every word to them. And to me, it just made me feel like the whole record meant something and had a life that was bigger than just the songs that I got to put out as singles, which was, it was really cool.
You know what else? As I sit here and think, because I watch from 1,000 feet up sometimes what you're doing and your socials, and I'm a fan of artists, period. Mm. And regardless of how big they are, I like people trying things.
Yeah.
And I like people doing things when people say stop doing them just because they feel it. And you talk about pop music in a second. And I love the fact that you're just like, I love pop music.
Yeah.
Because I like, listen, I love hip hop.
Come on.
I love, you know, there are these things and it's just who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you hop on Instagram, and I was watching Instagram of you doing the Chainsmokers Paris the other night. And I was like, the fact that she's still doing this just because she likes to do it, that's much cooler than anything else. Because for your whole career, whatever it is, people are always going to tell you this is not the cool thing to do forever. You're forever going to be told you should be doing something else.
Yeah.
And the person, surround yourself with the best people, Yep. And then listen to the best person, which is you. And I like that you do that because I know that you get that. Hey, you're not cool sometimes.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's haters too because you've blown up. Do you know how fast you've blown up and how abnormal it is?
What's really interesting is I know, but I don't really know. Does that make sense?
Yep. You know because you've done
it. I know because people are telling me. And right. I know because it's been 2 years and I feel like it's been 10. But the first big proper break I've gotten was this Christmas. I had like a week off for Christmas and 2 weeks in Australia. And I got home, I had 36 hours at home, did a cover shoot for Billboard. I'm not supposed to say that, but that happened. And then I literally got on a country cruise, which you're on a cruise with fans for 5 days to perform. And then I got home. And so I was like jet lagged and like really kind of like, whoa, where, like, I need to be home for a second. I feel like I need to like get centered for a second. And I went through with management every day of this year, what I had going on. And I got really intimidated by my life because I just got to be a human for like a month. And I didn't really think about music too much because I needed to like have some experience to live and write about. And like just a lot of stuff happened. I got engaged and stuff like that. So I just wanted to kind of go away for a minute. And I literally sat with management and I was like, I don't think I can do this. Like, I'm really intimidated by this and it makes me feel really insecure. And like, I don't know how this happened, you know? And like the start of my year really is the Grammys. I'm like, how do I ease into the Grammys? I don't know how to do this. And so that's been like I think the first time that I've really felt like, whoa, this did happen fast because now you're feeling the things that you probably should have been feeling a year ago. Like that intimidation, you know?
Do you worry that you're going to let people down?
No, because no one thinks I'm cool. So I don't really worry.
There's a difference. The people that assign coolness, they don't matter.
Yeah,
do you know
yeah,
who
yeah.
matter? And you know this because you got it. Like, you understand it. And I think you've had some great people that have taught you this, is that, do you know who matters? The people that buy the music,
yeah,
that come
sure.
to the shows, that's who matters.
Mm-hmm.
That's who really tells you if you're cool or not. And I have the same thing. Like, people can tell me I suck. They can write blogs about how terrible I am. But when I go to a stand-up show or I go to a Raging Idiot show or I go, those are the only people that matter. And you know this.
Yeah.
And it's a rare thing. And that's who matters.
Yeah. That's why I think that tour was so rewarding for me because I was like, I am cool right now.
And we're in a bubble
that
we sometimes don't see out of because we're in Nashville.
Yeah.
Everybody, it's a small town, relatively
yes.
speaking, and everybody's in it.
Yeah.
Telling you how cool that someone else is.
Yep. Yep. Yes. Yes.
But in reality, and you do a great job at this too, the coolest person is the person that comes out and shows support because we wouldn't be able to do what we do.
Yeah.
None of it.
Yeah.
But that people spend, they go to work and have jobs and like spend their money on you.
I know.
As an escape. That's cool.
It is cool. Yeah, it is cool.
And don't lose sight of that.
Yeah.
Because you will get pulled in 80 directions and be told 100 things. And I'm telling you, trust me, I get bashed constantly. But F them, you know?
Yeah, because you know.
It's just, it's all about, for me, it's all about the listener. Like, if I start to be a douchebag or I get high horsey or it's like, wow, then I'm like, I got to pull it back.
You listen to them.
Because it's like, dance with the girl that brought you. And so that's, you talk about getting engaged and, that, how about that?
It happened.
Huh. Let's talk about that. I mean, you're young.
Yeah, I am. I am.
You're young.
Yep.
When are we talking about getting married? Like 10 years? Is this going to be one of those long?
We haven't talked about it. I never have thought about like a wedding or getting married before. It's never been on my
horizon. So you haven't you haven't built a Pinterest board of?
Not my thing.
Yeah.
I have dreamt about like what my tour will look like, not what my wedding will look like. And he's the best. I love him so much and I'm stoked to marry him. But like, that's not the things that we're thinking about right now.
We have people in our lives, that we share that we're close to. And the first thing I did, I was like, okay, I saw Kelsey got engaged. Is she pregnant?
Who?
It doesn't matter who.
Oh God.
It doesn't matter who.
But no.
No, I know you're not.
Oh,
I know,
Jesus.
And if I thought you were, or she said, you know, he said, yes, I wouldn't have asked that question, but I was like, Is she pregnant? Because I wanted to be happy for you.
Oh, God.
But you're not pregnant.
I'm not. No.
That's right now. You're not pregnant.
Lord, no.
You didn't get engaged because you were pregnant.
No.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but that's what I thought. When I saw it, I was like, huh, Kelsey's – it's been pretty quick. Like, I remember when you met him. You went over to Australia to do an award show.
In March. It's been like 10 and a half months.
And so you go over and you meet him doing the award show? Because he lives in town.
He lives in Nashville. He's lived in Nashville for like a year and a half. Or I guess like 2 years now. But yeah, he actually had come over and interviewed all the artists that were going over for that, the CMA Fest before. So I didn't remember him because I was in a relationship and whatever. And so he interviewed me and he texted his friend that day and said, I met my wife today. I don't even remember him.
Okay, do you have a screenshot of this?
His friend is the one who told me.
But do you have the screenshot?
I don't have the screenshot.
I just know how dudes are. Mike, are you with... I mean,
I've said that.
Have you? It didn't work out?
Yeah. It just doesn't work out.
It doesn't work out. Well, yeah, but I don't remember. So
did you ask him if he'd ever said that before to anybody else?
He was like me. Like, we were like, ha, it's been fun. See ya. Gonna go work now. You know, like, just not relationship people. Woof. But yeah, no, we hosted the show together in Australia and, they've been together ever since.
And you came back?
Came back.
And then you started dating?
Yeah. I didn't know that he lived in Nashville, when we hosted the show together. And
did you fall for him like that?
Like that.
You really did?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're a good looking dude.
He is. He's so hot, but he's just like a proper good human. Like He's a good human.
I like
human.
Him.
Yeah. You have to hang out with him. You really will. He's the best. I'm gushing and I need to stop talking. But
No. Gush away.
It's sick.
It's a rare thing.
To
find someone gush worthy.
My parents are super, super divorced. And I think that's probably why I was I was in 2 2-year relationships before. And you could not have paid me to even say the word marriage. Like, I just would never think about that because...
You're also a kid, Kelsey.
I'm a kid, and I love what I do, and I'm busy, and like that's kind of what my life is and what I thought it was all about. And yeah, when I met him, I was like, woo, you're going to change my life.
Did you know he was going to propose?
We had talked about wanting to get married, that we knew that we wanted to be with each other forever. And
how old is he?
He's 31.
Wow, he's older than I thought.
He's older, yeah, he's older than me.
I knew he was older than you.
Yeah.
Look at him, Robin the Cradle. Listen, I think I'm 8 years older than my girlfriend, so, you know, I'm not wondering.
There's nothing wrong with it. I feel like I'm 23 and I have moments of acting like I'm 18.
God, you're 23 now. That's crazy to me.
I know. I have moments of acting like I'm 18 still, but I also have moments, like, I feel like my real life is like I need to be about 35 all the time. Like, I need to act like I'm like 35 all the time.
You've had to grow up a lot quickly. But I'm telling you, you grew up a lot quickly, though, at a younger age, too. I mean, listen, it wasn't like you had this Brady Bunch type family.
No.
Because, and, you know, you've talked about that a bit with your mom and dad splitting up.
Yeah.
And your mom lives here.
My mom's in Franklin. No,
yeah, she lives in Franklin. Not Nashville, but like 45 minutes south.
Yeah, not far at all.
And your dad?
My dad's in Knoxville, so where I'm from.
And so that's where you go when you put on the pajamas.
No, that's mom.
Oh,
that's
that is
Franklin.
Your mom's?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's her favorite thing.
It's for all you guys to put on the footsie pajamas.
Yeah.
Why you gotta hate?
It makes her so happy, and I think she thinks that everyone hates it, so she makes a big deal out of it, and so we all just kind of act like we hate it, but then we're like posting pictures because we think it's so
fun. So you start working on this next record. How long ago?
I've been through a lot of phases with this album. I probably wrote the first song we had written for it is a song called Graveyard, which I think I sent you.
You did.
And I don't even know if First Time was out yet when we had that song written. I mean, we've been writing for it forever.
Oh, really?
I've probably written like maybe 200 songs.
Yeah.
And we've cut some, scrapped them. We've used a couple different producers. Didn't work out. So we've really kind of gotten to experiment a bit more with this one. But you know what the coolest part was? I went back to like the producers that did the first time and they're my friends and it's, I don't know, it just worked.
Cause you can be honest with them.
I can be honest with them. And like they created the sound that the first time is. And I think that that's really valuable, you know? And it was really cool to be able to try different producers and then learn that, like, they bring something really special. And I don't think I appreciated that as much as I probably should have. And now I do, because I know.
You get the call that you've been nominated for Best New Artist. Just be real. Did you think that you would be one of the five nominees?
Honestly, it was really important to me. It was really important to me.
Did you feel like it lessened your chances that Maren existed and she came on strong? Because I did. I was like, oh, Maren's really cool. Like,
yeah,
Maren's cool.
200%.
200%. And the Grammys are way cooler than they are commercial.
Absolutely.
They put on people I never even heard of. And I love music, and I'm like, who is this?
The thing about me and Maren, and we're friends. We're not super close. I would love to be close with her. But the thing about Maren is if there's any other... I don't want to say this. I'm glad it's me and her. Like, I'm glad I'm in competition with her because she's so talented and her record's probably my most played record of the year. And I think that hopefully once we get out of all the new categories, it'll be just like Carrie and Miranda where they live in completely different lanes. But I think that people put us up against each other right now because we're the new girls and we're female and we're in the new artist category. You know what I mean? So right now, I think we're up against each other a lot, which again, I'm stoked it's her because she's really good. And that means that I'm in the same category as someone who's really good, which I'm stoked about. And I think that eventually, as we keep putting out music, hopefully we keep just growing into those positions as like a Carrie and Miranda. We're just in different lanes, you know?
It's such a weird dynamic because you have all these number one songs.
Was that rude? I didn't mean to be rude.
No, there's
God, I don't want to be
on it. No.
I'm a huge fan of hers. I didn't want to sound mean.
You sound very complimentary.
Okay.
And I would tell you to, and I would call you on it and be like, hey, well, and everything's about honesty here. I love Maren's record too.
Yes. Holy crap. Once I can't with that song.
It's for the Grammys. First of all, I don't think either one of you is going to win the award. You're going to balance it. You're going to kill each other.
Chance the Rapper.
I think that's who I picked. Did I pick Chance?
Yeah.
Because I just did the logic of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because here is how we break it down. And I think you guys cancel each other out enough to where it doesn't. Who's the rock group?
Is there a
rock
Chain group? Chainsmokers and the
It couldn't have been the Chainsmokers, but they're a pop group. And again, the Grammys aren't about commercial.
I know.
They actually go away from that.
I know.
And people vote again. I'm a voter. I'm a Grammy voter.
Yeah.
And I was probably the only one who voted for like all the pop stuff, you know, because I just know how. So I think you guys, listen, for the format, I would love if either one of you won it.
Yeah. It's a big deal that we're both nominated in it.
Crazy that you both are.
Big deal.
I thought it was going to be one of the two of you.
Yeah.
I was like, I wonder which one. It's going to, I knew it would be one of you.
Yeah, it's a big deal. There's never been two country artists in that category, two chicks. It's
crazy.
A big deal.
Yeah.
Which in itself feels like a victory, you know? Yeah, I'm not prepared to win that. I know that. And I'm cool with that. Yeah.
So they do the thing and they don't call your name. How do you feel?
I mean, it happened before.
At CMAs?
Yeah.
Were you hurt by that?
I mean, as much as you should be.
I get hurt. When I lose, it crushes me on the inside. I'll be honest. I hate it. When there's an awards thing and I don't win, I'm like, I'm a complete loss and a failure. And then it motivates me to do more. But I'll just be honest. It sucks to lose.
Yeah. I mean, I try to be really practical going into these kind of things because awards are cool. Like, I have a couple. They're on my shelf. It's really fun to show my friends. But it doesn't, I mean... I'm down with my three number ones. It makes me really happy. That makes me really happy. I don't know.
It's a hard thing to juggle.
I was bummed, but I was also like, it's good. It's fine.
I'd have been bummed. I'd have been like, don't you guys realize I have number one songs? Like, what? Just the human part of me, I'd have been like, what are you guys doing? Like, how? I'm performing. I got three number ones. Why am I not?
I think if anything, it probably just fed into that, like,
I'm not cool. People don't think
I'm absolutely
cool.
I think that's probably the more of the feeling rather than like, oh, they don't like me or like, oh, they don't think I'm good. It's like, I'm just not cool. You know, that's kind of, I think, the insecurity.
You know what the coolest thing is, though? Period is not caring.
I know. I'll get there. Yeah. I'll get there. I'm not there yet, though. I'm okay to say that.
I don't think anyone ever fully gets there.
Yeah, especially artists. We're so emotional.
It's just weird. When you create, you're so vulnerable because... we create, and then every and I'm not comparing what I do to you, but we create in different lanes.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Like I wrote that stupid book, and I was like, Jesus, man, I'm putting it all out there, and people are going to tell me I suck or I'm good, or you're vulnerable because you created something, and then it's up to everybody else to critique it.
Mm.
And they critique it with their money or their mouths or their keyboards.
Yes.
And we depend on those critiques to eat.
I know.
Like mortgages.
I know.
Engagement rings.
You know,
Michael, we got here. Who are we throwing to over here?
100 Flowers.
All right, let's talk about 100 Flowers. All right, if you're listening right now, if you have a new relationship and you're like, I got to impress for Valentine's Day, or you're in a relationship and you still got to impress for Valentine's Day, let me talk about 1-800-Flowers.com. It'd be the best decision that you make. 1-800-Flowers has great deals on awesome bouquets. And listen, I'm no bouquet expert, except I know when I see something really pretty, and I know they do a good job because they're super fresh. Right now, a dozen multicolored roses for $29.99. 1-800-Flowers will give you another dozen plus a vase for free. 50% off the original price. So 1-800-Flowers, they are picked at their peak. They're shipped overnight. It's fresh. They're going to love them. Buy one, get one free rose bouquet right now, plus a vase, an amazing offer. It is not going to last long. To order a dozen multicolored roses plus an extra bouquet and a vase for just $29.99, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter Bones. 1-800-Flowers.com, enter Bones. Don't forget to click the radio icon, enter Bones. It ends soon. Don't want to miss this. So just enter Bones. Click the radio, enter Bones. All right, cool. All right, so you have a fiance.
Yeah.
You got a new record coming out.
Yeah.
I want to know about this fiance for a second.
Okay.
Like, what's his deal?
Well, which part? What do you want to know?
Let's talk about his music, because he's an artist. I've never heard him sing.
Do you want to hear him sing?
I'm not against it. I mean, I wouldn't be like, let me out of here.
So good.
Is he?
Yeah. Yes. It'd be weird for me. It'd be tough for me to be with another artist if I didn't respect what they did. I've always said I would never be with another artist because it's weird. I've dated a songwriter before. It's competitive. It's like awkward.
Yeah.
And it's just not. It's just not.
So
I opened for him in Australia too, which was kind of cool to like flip that.
And then he opened for you on your headlining tour.
Yeah.
Does it get competitive? I wonder. I mean, if he goes out and doesn't have success, because most artists don't have success initially. Most artists aren't Kelsey.
I know.
I mean, I'm
just not worried about it.
Is
I don't
he,
know.
Though?
I think
Does
that
he feel like he needs to be successful for you?
I think that he will be successful for me, whatever that means. But I'm just not worried. He's so talented, and everyone loves him that meets him. And so I think that it'll work out how it's supposed to work out for him.
What's he good at?
He's a really good entertainer. I think that's his strongest suit. Like, he writes and all of that. He's a great singer, but he's a really, really great entertainer. Like, helped me put part of my last show together.
What's his deal then musically? Right now, is he on a label?
He's on Warner Australia. And then he's not on a Nashville label yet.
Yet.
Yeah.
Should make Black River sign him. Just
nope.
Force him since you
own. Nope. Hard since, pass. Since hard
you,
pass.
Since you own. Yeah. That's interesting. You have two. I mean, listen, if it were, it's a difficult juggling act to be with someone else creative. I'm going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just two creative people.
But it's also like, I think as long as you can separate it, like, there are times where I'm like, I need you to tell me what to do in this situation, or like, I need your opinion on this, like, put your business hat on.
Did you say his name, by the way? We've never said his name.
His name is Morgan.
Morgan what?
Morgan Evans.
Morgan Evans. Everybody can Google Morgan Evans.
but we also will be like, let's just not talk about anything to do with what we do tonight. Like, let's just talk about our family or friends or something else, like a stupid YouTube video. It doesn't matter. Anything. And it's cool to be able to, like, do either, you know?
What do you guys have fun doing together? What's your
We travel. We love to travel.
Yeah?
Yeah. We went to Hawaii, and then we went to Paris and Florence, and then, like, even stuff like Blackberry Farm, like, right down the road, just little getaways. Really, really good.
Fair to say you're making money now, finally?
This year I started to make a lot of money, yeah.
People think when you have a song on the radio, immediately you become some crazy millionaire. It's the opposite. I mean, most artists I know lose money.
It's so hard.
For a long time.
The first year, and I remember, this is so canon, I'm getting in so much trouble for this. A radio tour was the hardest time of my life because I was working so hard. And for myself, like I was doing it for me, you know, but I was exhausted and you don't get paid, but everyone around you does. And I happened to be dating my guitar player at the time. So he was getting paid and I wasn't. And I remember there was one time where I couldn't pay my rent when I got home. And it was during my Opry debut and all my like family and friends were there. And I was like, do I ask my parents to pay my rent? Like, what do I do? And, ended up something cool happened, but
what cool happened?
I don't know if he'd want me to say it. Someone showed up and did it for me. Paid my rent for me.
Someone that you'll probably take that and help someone else in the same way.
Yeah. He's like the coolest person.
You're welcome.
Yeah. It was not you. I know that for a fact. yeah. But, radio, I mean, yeah, that whole time is so hard because you have to support the people that are there to support you. But essentially you're working for yourself, you know, and it's really tough.
Your mom proud of you?
So proud. She's my date to the Grammys. We're going shopping next week.
That's a tough call.
Why is it a tough call?
I know you and your mom are close.
Yeah.
And your mom moved out here when you were 15.
We made a deal when I was like 14.
Oh, okay. If you made a deal, you got to stick to the deal. Okay.
We made a deal.
I mean, you just got engaged.
I know. He's going to be out there with me just for my sanity purposes. But I made a deal with my mom when I was like 14 because we used to watch the Grammys together. And I was like, when I get to go to the Grammys, you're going to come with me. You're going to be my date. And so then it actually happened. So she's my date.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm stoked.
And she's proud. Does she have pictures up of you like all through the years?
She makes me these scrapbooks, like Shutterfly scrapbooks. She made me one for Christmas. And this is so embarrassing. My trainer was over this morning and the book's propped up on my shelf. And I'm like, hey, look at me with brown hair. And she was like, that's you? Jeez, baby fat. And I was like,
Your trainer's hardcore though. Like she was in the military.
She is a boss lady.
For a while.
Woo! It's hectic.
She's, she's hardcore.
She's hardcore, yeah. So my mom keeps all the pictures.
That's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to have someone that's been there, and your mom moved for you.
I know.
It's a big deal. She moved for you as a kid, and I think as you get older too, and when you have kids, you'll probably be like, dang.
I appreciate that.
Like, I get it.
It's cool too because she had just started dating her now husband in Knoxville, like 6 months before we moved. And so they kept dating. They just met, started dating. We moved and then they dated long distance for like 7 years.
I would say they dated mid-distance.
Mid-distance. Yeah. Sorry. short distance really. For 7 years and now he lives out here and they're married and stuff. So
what was it like playing back in Knoxville at the theater?
It was cool. It's so funny because I knew that there were a lot of people in the audience that, like, my choir director was there, which, like, I could have just died that she was there. My parents were there. A lot of my friends were there. But then there were also, like, my ex-boyfriend was there. The Peter Pan, like, high school. There were a couple people that, like, and it happens because you hear the story all the time, but like that aren't really your friends. And then all of a sudden you have a song on the radio and they're like, Kelsey, here's a picture of us. And you're like seven people away from each other. You know what I mean? There were like a lot of those people there too. So I remember before I went out on stage, I was like, do it for your friends and do it for your family. But like, do it for the people that are here that like didn't think you could do it. You know? And I went out and I swear I've never like flipped my hair that hard in my life. Like I just went out there and turned into someone else. And I was so proud of myself because I thought I was going to be so emotional. And I just like, I did the best show I've probably ever done. And then for the encore, I walked out into the audience. We always like pick a spot, never know who's going to be around it. Just pick a spot. I walk out with my guitar to play the first time and I walk out. And it's my second show of the whole tour. It's my hometown in the theater that my dad used to live above and I would sneak down into. Like, I saw Little Big Town there. I saw Zac Brown. I mean, it's just like a super special place to me. And I look up and my dad's right in front of me And two of my best friends are like to my right. And then Forrest and Jason Massey, my producers, surprised me and drove in, and they were like on my left. And I just looked up at them and I started bawling. I mean, just like couldn't even get my, my words together. And while it's embarrassing, like why, while it's happening, it's a cool moment to look back on, you know.
Who are you riding with tonight?
I'm riding with Jimmy Robbins and a chick named Mozella. She wrote, "I came in like a wrecking ball."
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we wrote 2 days ago, and we got 2 songs in 3 hours.
Wow.
We were like, let's do this again.
It's funny, you know, my you sing wrecking ball. I've become friends with Jesse Alexander.
She?
And she wrote The Climb. She wrote I Drive Your Truck.
She's not even real.
But she's not real.
She's like, not real.
I saw her again because I went, and I don't get to go to a lot of things, but I went and went to watch Dirk's play.
I was there.
I saw a picture of you. I never saw you.
I was there.
But I saw a picture of you at the end.
Yeah.
But so I went to watch Dirk's and I saw her back there, and we're on like the ACM board together, and we've got to kind of know each other. And you sing Wrecking Ball. She wrote Miley Cyrus's The Climb, which
so crazy.
When she sings, her and her husband are both songwriters. But when she sings that, it's so good. But she wrote, you know, Lee Bryce, I Drive Your Truck, which yeah. I think most country people would go to that first.
Yeah.
But I'm always like,
The Climb.
You sang The Climb from Miley. Yeah,
I
you wrote
was
the, climb.
The biggest Hannah Montana fan. Oh, gosh.
Did you ever go to Hannah Montana's show? A Miley Cyrus show?
Yes, and Jonas Brothers opened.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Knoxville, Thompson Bowling Arena. Yep.
They were, that was when I was doing pop radio, like the Jonas Brothers, people would.
I mean, that's how I was. I was like a camp out Jonas Brothers fan. And girl, then Nick played with me on the ACMs.
Keep everybody country. Don't, you can't say anyone country in this next question.
Okay.
Growing up, eliminate all country, just your favorite artists. Give me 3 artists that you loved.
Not country.
Not country.
My first concert was Britney. This makes me sound probably weird. I loved like Frank Sinatra. My dad listened to him all the time in the kitchen.
Well, that's why. Because it made yeah. you feel like you're close to your dad.
So Frank Sinatra, that kind of oldies stuff. And I mean, like, Hannah Montana was a big one for me. I wanted to be a musician. I was going to school, and, like, I just kind of...
You feel like you're living the double
I
life,
I felt
too?
Like I was Hannah Montana, yeah. guys. Yeah.
Well, I'm excited for... I hope Yeah Boy is number one. You know, I
hope
it
is. Me too. Thanks.
And I know a bit you're kind of, like, ready for... I mean, I get it. Like, you're like, I'm ready for the new stuff.
Well, but I'm excited to, like, finish it out on this song. So hopefully it works.
Me too.
Out.
And I'm ready for the new stuff.
Me too.
Because I just think everyone's going to see a different picture.
Yeah.
And congratulations on the Grammy nomination.
Thanks. Thank you. Are you going out for that?
I don't think so. I don't
you should.
Think so. I don't think so. I don't like to do stuff. Okay. I just don't.
Okay.
Unless I have to do something at it. Like, I'll go to the... Like, I'm on the board of the ACMs. And I probably wouldn't go to the ACMs unless I was doing part of the TV. So...
Really?
I just feel pressure that people have to talk to me in places.
You're doing the iHeart Festival.
Well, yeah, but that's my company. I'm hosting it and playing, but that's my company.
I'm playing it this year.
You are playing it, which is awesome because it's awesome.
I've wanted to.
It's awesome. It's because it's one. It's not like an award show where it's slow. It's like bam, bam, bam. The stage flips.
Oh,
and yeah,
I'm so excited.
We're playing it. We're bringing out somebody to play with us that people are gonna flip out about, which is gonna be crazy.
That's sick.
But,
my first tour was with you guys.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time in cars together. Like, we did.
I know.
Like, not even buses.
No, and vans.
You know, we're both now to the point where we take buses to... We're, you know, and we're definitely different. And you're a real life thing, and I'm an entertainer. We entertain, but we get to take buses now. Back in the day, we were taking a small van or an SUV and driving like 6 hours. And I would like Kelsey, get the guitar out and play something while we drive for 3 hours.
I really did.
And
yeah.
Kelsey would sit in the back and just play.
It feels like so long ago.
It does.
So weird.
It feels like forever ago.
I know.
I mean, I feel like this freaking radio show is 20 years old, and it's 3.5 years old.
Is that it?
Yeah. It's not 4 years yet.
Yeah. Well.
And then like your record, you probably feel like it's been 10 years.
Yeah, it does.
But it's cool. It's been weird to watch you. Go from a baby to where you are now and the ups and the downs and our ups and downs because we were really close and then not close and then really close. Like, but through all of that, like I've always been like a call away regardless.
Yeah.
And there'll probably be a time where we're on the same label too. Like, full disclosure, we're also on the same record label. And I'm doing comedy projects with the label, like, not even music. And our lives and our careers
are very intertwined. I know.
They are.
I know.
And that's why I was like, let me see if I can see anything on the internet I don't know about Kelsey. Which is, this is the weirdest Bobbycast, because it's like I'm on with somebody from my show almost that I just know everything about. Like, I almost know every answer to every question I'm going to ask.
I know.
So it's difficult for me. I will always root for you.
Thank you.
I'm,
I know. We've had
It's been weird.
I know.
It's been weird.
I know.
But I just hope that you keep doing you.
Yeah.
Because at times it's hard not to do you.
Yeah.
And I say that just in general.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that you are. And I'm excited about the second record, because I've heard some stuff and it's just different. It's different.
Yeah.
First record.
Is it good? Do you like it?
I don't give opinions on that stuff anymore.
Oh, okay.
I do. I do. But yeah, I don't do, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a weird thing now, because I have friends and even my girlfriend, I don't tell her what songs. Do you know what I say?
Yeah,
to
you're
her?
Dating. Let's talk about that.
You can talk about it if you want, but here's the thing that I tell her, because she's, you know, putting together a record, and she's finally like, screw it, I'm just putting together my own kind of record. She's like, I've done what they wanted me to do.
Yeah.
And I've made singles that they wanted me to make.
By the way.
And again, that was the song. She was like, I'm gonna put it out. Tonight. But now she's like, you know who I am? I'm a country blues player. She's like, this is the record that I want to make. So she's making it, and I listen to songs, but I don't go, that's for the radio. My only talk with her is, would I buy it? And I'll be like, you know what? I wouldn't buy that song, but I see where it would fit on a record. But so
sure.
There's a weird relationship.
Yeah.
And it's in a way, even with you, if you were like, hey, what do you think? I couldn't be like, oh, that's radio. I'd be like, yeah, I'd buy it, or nah, I wouldn't buy it.
That's an interesting perspective.
Because I have to.
Yeah.
I'm so, you're biased, even if you don't want to be. Your bias.
Yeah.
And then I go, because she has songs, I'd be like, I would download that. And then she has songs, I'd be like, you know, I wouldn't.
Huh.
But I do see where it fits.
Yeah.
In this record that, in her, she has a record coming out in a couple weeks. But, yeah.
I like her a lot.
It's a thing.
She's a good human.
It's a thing. Oh, yeah. She makes me a normal human, because I'm not, and she drags it out of me.
Yeah. She's a good human.
And Morgan probably does the same thing for you, where it just introduces a different side of you, even to yourself.
Yeah.
Where you're like, wow, I didn't realize I'd be that comfortable being like this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
So
I'm happy for you.
We'll see how it goes. But it's good. Well, congratulations.
Thanks, man.
And, you know, if you win the Grammy, that's awesome. And if you don't, that's awesome.
I'll wear a pretty dress and I'll sit near Beyonce, and that's enough.
And here's the thing. You have to, again, at times take and look at it from far away. Let's say, odds are you or me, neither one are going to win. Odds are you're not going to win, because just looking at the math of it.
Yeah.
In 2 or 3 years, you'll look back and go, that was the coolest thing ever. Even though you're kind of going to be a little bit sad when you don't win.
Yeah.
You're going to look back and go, so just go. And it's something that I've had to learn how to do, and just almost take mental pictures.
Yeah.
To remember how cool it is.
Even though you're in the moment. I just started videoing everything on my phone. Like every write, every, like, I just.
People hack and steal your stuff.
All the time. I get hacked. All the time.
Me too.
I get hacked all the time.
There was a time. Right? It sucks.
It's so stressful. It is so stressful.
I had to call Twitter. And they don't have a number you look up on the internet. They had to be like, guys, I need help, because I'm getting hacked all the time.
Yeah. All the time.
Do they ever steal your music?
There's a live link on eBay right now of like half my next record.
Really?
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating. I'm like, sucks. If you hack my phone, you're going to get a lot of pictures of my dog, which is fine, and my contacts, which is probably what people want, you know? It's just my address book.
Yeah.
Which is super annoying.
You are cool. You are cool with your address book.
I'm not. That's not what I, that's not you what are I mean cool. at all.
Do you know Hailee Steinfeld?
No.
Oh, you should, because I like that song.
Well, I never knew that I was diamond. No, I love that song, and I met her maybe once, but we're not buds.
Man, you need to be.
Yet.
That's a good song. I like that song. That's a Hailee song, and Zed did that song with her, too. I love that song.
Avicii's in town riding right now.
He is, and you know who he's riding with? Because Keith, but I was just... Okay, so I'm a huge Walker Hayes fan. I don't know if you know Walker.
So good.
So he's opening for me on my comedy tour.
So good. Like, Break the Internet.
My favorite.
Have you heard Shut Up Kenny?
Yeah, I've heard. Listen.
Have you heard Shut Up Kenny? It makes me want to never write another song.
All of Walker's songs make me go, why is anybody else even trying? He's next level. And he works in a tiny shed, and he works on old, crappy,
equipment,
producing equipment that's so old that when people come in, they go, dude, I can't, this doesn't match like with my current computers. But he's
a freak. Yeah. I don't even think we've met in person ever, but I just like randomly will comment on his stuff and be like, eh, you're good.
It's just different.
The Halloween song.
Oh, he plays that with in Nikita Sings the Girl part.
Oh my gosh.
At our shows.
It's like, too good. No, it's
like cool. Halloween. You look at it and you go, well, this is going to be dumb Halloween, but Walker has a song called Halloween and it's like, I don't have to pretend anymore. I can put all
my masks
yeah. and my capes and stuff down with you. And I'm like, it's just like, that's the thing.
That is songwriting at its finest.
And you're like,
out there.
It's rare to hear and feel things anymore. Like us too, when we hear stuff all the time. Mm. But all that being said, thumbs up to you.
Thanks.
This is just the beginning of it. And it's a roller coaster and you're going to have your downs, but you can have some huge ups. And it's really cool to be able to watch. And hopefully one day I get to see a picture of your wedding. That'd be cool.
Oh my gosh. A wedding. Woof.
Yeah. That'd be cool. That's when you say no, you're going to be invited.
You are. Yeah, well, I don't know if a wedding will happen, but if it does, of course you're invited. Right. You heard it here.
Tell Morgan I said hello.
I will.
And I hope everything's fantastic.
Thank you.
Kelsey Ballerini, what episode has this been, Mike?
33.
You are episode 33. We've been trying to work this out for a while, but both of us have been gone.
I know. Finally, I'm glad it worked out.
Finally good. And I will say, too, and I don't say this, and I won't bring it up to people if they show up and it's different, but there are about five of you ever that just show up by yourself, and that's so cool.
And
you know who two of the five were?
Huh.
You and Marin.
Yeah?
You're both like, I'm just down. I don't have anybody with me. Let's just talk.
Let's just hang out.
And to me, that's a cool human thing. Like, regardless of music or anything else, it's like, I'm just coming over. I'm not bringing my manager. I'm not bringing my people. Let's just sit down and talk.
Yeah.
And so when you showed up, I was like, is Kelsey going to show up? But we also have mutual friends. So
we do.
It would have been different.
She dropped me off. Megan literally dropped me off like a mom.
So, yeah, it's good. I'm glad you came.
Me too. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. All right, Kelsey Ballerini, this has been another episode of Bobbycast. How'd you feel it went? Good?
So fun.
I don't know why you freaked out about the marathon thing, by the way. You said nothing even remotely.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I just get really nervous. People get weird and, like, you know.
And these chairs are comfortable and you just start saying stuff.
I know. And then I was rocking in my chair and I don't know. Whatever.
All right, we're going to go. Thank you, Kelsey, and good luck with life.
Bye.
All right, we'll see you next time, guys.